This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. We'll be talking with one of the stars of Night Shift, Freddie Rodriguez, coming right up. But first, some of the highlights from MTV's Movie Awards the other night. Vin Diesel's Paul Walker tribute included the first time Diesel appeared at the MTV Movie Awards without his Fast and Furious co-star Paul Walker. He took the moment to honor his late friend. After Wiz Khalifa's See You Again played as Diesel's walkout song, the actor stopped and sang a chorus to the audience. As Jennifer Lopez was accepting the award for Best Scared Performance, Channing Tatum did a booty dance. Robert Downey Jr. was recognized for his work over his illustrious career and was given the Golden Popcorn by his Avenger Age of Ultron co-stars, who all took a knee once he got to the podium. As part of sponsor Revlon's Kiss Cam, the host, Amy Schumer, made out with Amber Rose, Wiz Khalifa's ex. Haley Steinfeld's shocked face said it all. Amy Schumer's opening monologue included lines about Furious 7, which is what they're calling the people who saw Jupiter ascending. If you didn't get that, that's why the joke works. She said Hillary Clinton finally announced she's taking Zayn's spot in One Direction. She also said this is going to be the party of the year. I just hope Harrison Ford doesn't crash it. And then there were all the Kevin Hart jokes, with Schumer saying he played the fake baby in American Sniper and Mason from Boyhood, ages 8 to 9. If you're working over 48 hours a week, you're 11% more likely to be a heavy drinker. A risky amount of alcohol use is 14 drinks a week for women and 21 for men. This compares to what would be considered heavy drinking at 8 drinks a week for women and 15 for men. Someone who works a long number of hours from home may have less risky behaviors than someone who is working out of their office. One of the stars of the NBC drama The Night Shift is actor Freddie Rodriguez.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for making yourself available. You know, it's not often that we get to talk to somebody on a key show on NBC called The Night Shift. Tell us what's going on at your crazy little hospital there.
Yes, The Night Shift. A lot's going on. It's the third shift, the night shift at the ER of San Antonio Memorial, right? There's a saying, the freaks come out at night. And that's what you see every episode on The Night Shift, or all the crazies who do crazy things during those hours. And tonight's episode, Monday, it's pretty cool. We get to see, we've met my daughter on the show in a previous episode, and today she comes back, and I'm dealing with a personal family issue. We get to see her, we get to see my crazy ex-wife. So it's going to be a good episode. Everyone should tune in.
And what is it that makes this show special, do you think? Obviously, we've seen hospital shows before, ER being one of the top ones on NBC. Why is Night Shift something that we should invest our time with?
I think it's right when you thought you could not reinvent the medical drama, I think we have. As I said, it takes place at night. I don't think I've ever seen a medical drama that takes place at night. It takes place in San Antonio, which is a more rural environment. You usually see it take place in a major city like Chicago, New York, Seattle. It revolves a heavy military aspect of it. Gabe Sachs and Jeff Judah, who are the creators of the show, have a strong comedic background, and they wrote on a show called Freaks and Geeks, and so they weave comedy all through the drama, and so we get to see that aspect as well. And so I just think that we're different. I think when you watch it, you really get to see all of those aspects woven together and get a sense that it's a different type of medical drama.
Well, you mentioned Freaks and Geeks. That's a great thing to have on your resume, right? That's such a great show.
It is, and it was such a and the style of comedy on that was so different too. It was a really grounded sense of comedy, and our bosses bring that to our show, and they weave it in, which is really cool.
You mentioned San Antonio, but where do you actually shoot the show?
We shoot the show in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, okay, so you're sort of in the ballpark there.
Yeah, we are.
And
it's great. We get to, we get to shoot there. Our producers are the same as Breaking Bad. As soon as Breaking Bad wrapped, we moved right in. We had the same crew, same producers, same studio, Sony. So that was really cool.
That's what I was going to say. It sounded like, Breaking Bad was in Albuquerque. So obviously you guys just filled the void when that show went away.
We did. I mean this in the most literal way. As soon as they wrapped, we moved right in and inherited everything that they left behind, from crew to producers, everything.
Wow, that's hitting the ground running, I guess, huh?
Yeah. I think that's definitely contributed to our success, is having a crew of that quality. And so we were really fortunate.
Now, you're described as this, you know, tight-fisted, protocol-following administrator. How do you view your character?
Well, he started off that way in season one. He was the hospital administrator, and that's really what attracted me, because I always felt like in medical dramas we never see that aspect. You know, we never see and that's here in the United States. People don't realize that you know, hospitals are businesses, and they're there to make money. And like any business, whether it's a hospital or a restaurant or whatever it may be, you know, they need to make money in order to stay afloat. And so I was the guy running the business. And sometimes in order to keep the doors open in the business, you need to make tough decisions. And these decisions revolved around people's health, people's lives, you know, and which made him look like a villain or a bad guy. But in reality, he was just stuck in this position where he had to, you know, keep this business afloat. And so at the end of season one, we see that job wear on him, and we discover that he has a tumor in the back of his eye. And so when season two comes around, he comes back from a surgery and has the tumor removed and decides that he doesn't want to do that job anymore. And so he quits, and he decides to go to follow his dream, and his dream has always been to become a medical doctor. And so now that we're in season two, he's taking a job as a physician's assistant. And so the dynamic shifts. You know, the people that he used to be the boss of are now superior to him. And so, you know, you get to see people vent and tell him how they've always felt about him, and haze. You know, he's going through sort of a hazing period within those people. So, you know, it's just been a really interesting thing for me as an actor to play.
Yeah, sure. The shoe's on the other foot, as they say, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
Now, do people basically know you from 6 Feet Under or something else?
Well, you know, I've been making movies and television shows since 1994, so I think it all depends on who you are and how old you are and what you've grown up watching of mine. But obviously, you're always defined by your hits, right? Whenever you mention Al Pacino's name, for example, I'm sure you're going to say The Godfather, you're going to say Scarface, you're going to say very specific movies, and those movies were 30 years ago, you know, 40 years ago. So you're always defined by, you know, whatever your hits are, and 6 Feet Under was obviously one of them.
I tuned in the other night, was watching the episode, and I said to myself, I didn't realize Scott Wolf was on the show. Has anyone ever told you that you look like him?
That I look like Scott Wolf?
Yeah.
No, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Really? I think you look like him.
Yeah, okay. Well, Scott's a good-looking dude, so I take that as a compliment.
Well, I thought maybe I'm the last one on this train. I would assume that somebody brought it up before. I don't know. I think you look like him. Well, listen, what can I tell you? My eyes are not as good as they used to be.
No, hey, listen, like I said, he's a good-looking guy. He's a great guy, a great human being, so I'll take it.
Okay. So now, how many episodes left after tonight?
Well, we're doing 14 this season.
Okay.
I think tonight is number 8 or 9.
Okay, so you still got a few more to go.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we still got a few more to go.
And without letting any cats out of the bag, can we expect some explosive action or twists and turns?
Well, yeah, I think I really don't know what's going to happen towards the end yet, but like last year, you know, one of our main characters was shot. There was a hostage situation in the hospital, and we ended it in a big way. So I'm sure that this season will do the same. I just don't know what that is yet.
And have you, I guess you haven't heard, whether or not you'll be around for a third season? You'll find out next month, perhaps?
Yeah, we're going to find out next month. But, you know, the great thing is that, you know, there was an article that just came out that said that every week we're gaining 17% of an audience. For example, last week the NCAA tournament was out. Every show was down, including The Voice, and we were the only one that were up 17%.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I would say we're doing pretty well. And then we'll see. We'll see what NBC decides.
Well, listen, fingers crossed. It seems like you're having a good time, so you don't necessarily want it to end after two seasons.
No. We're having a blast, and, you know, I think we're doing some pretty good work. So, you know, I think it still has a few years in it.
And who would you describe as the typical viewer of the show, do you think? Do you have in your mind, when you're doing it, who you're trying to appeal to?
I think it runs across the board. We have the military aspect, so that obviously attracts the guys. There's some good-looking girls on the show, so that attracts the guys. We have good-looking guys, so that attracts the women. You have the medical aspect, and I think sometimes we get a tad gory on the show, and so whoever is a fan of that stuff is what we get. So I think it just sort of runs across the board.
And the next time I'll know it's you and not Scott Wolf. I don't know where I came up with that, but. Listen, Freddie, all the best. I hope they pick you up for another season. And if they do, we'll talk next year about what's happening with your character.
All righty. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care.
With Freddie Rodriguez of The Night Shift, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Attention, weary northern bikers. Thanks to open windows and my Canada Geese alarm clock, ABM is awake. Hey, the last robin split weeks ago. Biker events before Mother Nature cranks up the summer furnace. Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Notable gathering this week, Unadilla, Georgia's Angel City Spring Rally. Next week, the 22nd through the 26th, Laughlin River Run. That very same weekend, the world's largest three-day motorcycle rally, Leesburg, Florida's Bike Fest. The 29th through May 3rd, Panama City, Florida breathes a sigh of relief as bikers replace this year's drive-by spring breakers. First part of May, Myrtle Beach Spring Rally attempting a comeback. Yet one hit them all while it's still cool. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
In 1984, this three-time Indianapolis 500 winner became the first driver to go 215 miles per hour at an Indy qualifier.
Number four, the Pennzoil Chaparral, his hands in the air. Johnny Rutherford wins the 1980 Indianapolis 500-mile race.
So where is Johnny Rutherford now? Johnny was inducted into the International Motorsports Hall of Fame in 1996 and has worked for NBC, CBS, ABC, and ESPN. He serves as the pace car driver at all IRL events. And the first Lone Star Johnny Rutherford Award was presented at the 2013 Indy 500 Breakfast. Johnny Rutherford, still driving in circles. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.